In our book, The Alien Exposed, we talk about a sad scenario in nature called brood parasitism, and the cuckoo bird goes and places its nest in a reed warbler's nest, and that it's timed so that their little cuckoo will hatch out first, push the other eggs out of the nest, and then the reed warblers end up raising the cuckoo, thinking it's their own. What a dirty trick. Today I want to talk about a possible egg in your nest. Basically, the idea is something that is the product of Satan that has been so subtly slipped into your thought processes that you believe and defend and nurture it as your own, while it is the very enemy of your soul. Are you familiar with autoimmune disease? It's a similar concept. Basically, something that confuses your defense mechanism, so instead of destroying the enemy, it begins to destroy you. So our defense mechanisms are actually working against us. A computer virus is very similar. A computer virus is a type of software program that replicates itself by modifying other computer programs and inserting its own code. So basically, it is manipulating from within, changing the code for its own purposes. Mm-hmm. Well, let me read you something else that happens naturally in nature along this same line. This might give you the creeps. There is such a thing as a hairworm called a Spinochordes tellini. The larvae will develop in grasshoppers and crickets who ingest it. And this parasite is able to influence its host's behavior. Once the parasite is grown, it causes its grasshopper host to jump into water where the grasshopper will likely drown. The parasite then leaves its host. The adult worm lives and reproduces in the water. The tellini does not influence its host to actively seek water over large distances, but only when it is already close to water. The microscopic larvae are ingested by their insect host and developed inside them into worms that can be 3 to 4 times longer than the host. The precise molecular mechanism underlying the modification of the host behavior is not yet known. It appears that the parasites produce proteins that act directly on the development of the central nervous system and are similar to proteins known from other insects, suggesting an instance of molecular mimicry. Creepy, isn't it? This little parasite gets inside the grasshopper or the cricket, and it works within that grasshopper or cricket to affect its brain. And so the grasshopper or cricket basically commits suicide by jumping into water where it does not live and cannot swim. It makes its host jump in the water so that the parasite can get back to the water where it wants to be. You say, that really happens? That really happens. Be glad you're not a cricket. But there is something worse that is even more destructive for humans. Something worse than the egg in the reed warbler's nest. Something worse than the computer virus changing the codes. Something worse than the hairworm making the grasshopper or cricket commit suicide. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Begin reading in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of anomia, the mystery of iniquity, that word is anomia. We're going to talk about the mystery of anomia. Doth already work, only he who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Notice, deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Yes. Okay, now listen to me. There is this mystery of anomia. The word mystery means something secret or hidden. The mystery of anomia is at work. It produces the deceivableness of unrighteousness. In other words, that's the delusion in people concerning right and wrong.
Right.
They receive not the love of the truth. I have seen this numerous times develop and take place and grow into spiritual suicide. This is no simple illustration. This is a reality, and you need to listen up. They think they are defending their way. They think they are justifying their idea. They think they are excusing their appetites. They think they are doing what they want. But they're being used like a bug.
That's right.
As a vehicle for Satan's ideas, Satan's rebellion against God, Satan's doctrines, Satan's concepts, and they are nothing but a bug being used to spread and implement his agenda, and then they are left for dead.
That's right.
Then they are drowned. Say, Brother Mark, are you serious? I'm serious. This word anomia. This is the mystery of anomia. I want you to listen real close. Jesus uses this word four times in the Gospel of Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. I want you to notice each time what is being spoken of. I believe that there are those in this room who even now are infected with anomia. If it continues unabated, if it continues unhindered, if it continues to grow, if it is not cured, if it is not fixed, then you will become a vehicle for Satan's ideas, and then you will be left spiritually dead.
That's right.
You will be used like a bug for the devil's work, and then he will leave you for dead and go on his way. He cares nothing for you. So listen up. Matthew 7, verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. The word here, the idea, the word new in the Greek means I never approved of you. Depart from me, ye that work anomia. What's the context? We'll go back up to verse 12, Matthew 7, verse 12. This is the Sermon on the Mount, okay? Now, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, he said, think not that I am come to destroy the law, the nomos.
Yes.
Okay? The word law is nomos. This word we're talking about is anomia. Ah is negative. Ah is opposed to. So there is nomos and there's anomos or anomia. It is that which is opposed to that law. So if Jesus were speaking here in the Greek, you would hear the word, I came not to destroy the nomos, and depart from me ye that work anomia. Okay, and you would understand the connection there better than we do reading it in the English. In Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the nomos and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And we're going to find out why that happens and why that is so. These prophets are those who are in advanced stages of anomia, okay? And I'll show you that Jesus actually declares that. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And as we go through the use of anomia in the Bible here in Matthew, we're going to find out why that good tree brings forth good fruit, and why a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit, and how they got there. Verse 21. Jesus said in verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them, what they are producing. 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work anomia. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, that's anomia, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Nomos versus anomia. God's love versus Satan's rebellion. The second time that this word anomia is used by Jesus is in Matthew 13. Begin reading in verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The apostles heard that parable, and they were really anxious to know what it meant. There's a reason why you don't try to gather up the tares before the harvest, because you can't hardly tell them apart until they bear fruit, until they head. Once they head, then you can see a definite difference. Once they bring forth fruit, you can see a difference by the fruit. Okay? And the fruit of a tare is poisonous. So what is the interpretation? Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, verse 36, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Verse 37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed, that's nomos. Okay? That's what Jesus sowed. He sowed nomos. Is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Now, you have wheat, and you have Satan's GMO wheat. All right? You have Satan's GMO wheat, which is called tares, genetically modified. It's been changed. It's been altered. It tries to look the same. The idea is that they can mingle. The idea is for them to mingle together because anomia is contagious.
Right.
All right?
That's right?
And what happens is, when anomia gets in a person, just like that little hairworm, it begins to alter that person. Just like the computer virus, it enters its own code. All right? And you begin upholding things that you think are your idea. You think it's what you want. You think it's what you like. But you're being affected by anomia working inside of you.
That's right.
And you are a victim in one sense. And yet you are not a victim in another sense. Because God has given us a way to stop anomia working within us.
Right.
We'll talk about that. So, Jesus in the parable is preaching the word. He's preaching God's word, nomos. And those who receive nomos are the ones who are protected from anomia. Satan is teaching, he is spreading anomia. And you'll see that's exactly what he's doing in just a minute. Satan is preaching anomia. Those who ingest anomia produce a different fruit. It begins to alter them. It begins to work inside of them. It's a slow process. Okay, when that parasite gets in the grasshopper, he doesn't jump in the water right away. There is a transformation that must take place. There are proteins. There is molecular mimicry, per se, that goes on where that parasite has to get in to the router and reconfigure the router, okay? That parasite has to figure out how to get into that thing, get into his brain, and alter things. Because otherwise, a grasshopper or cricket would never jump in the water. The truth Jesus preached produced a certain character of people. The lie that Satan counterfeited and preached produced a certain character of people.
Yes.
Now look at verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do anomia. That's the second time Jesus uses that term. Verse 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous, those who consumed and partook of nomos, shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Amen.
The third time Jesus uses the word anomia is in Matthew 23. Down in verse 28. Talking to the Pharisees. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and anomia. Do you know that the sect of the Pharisees began as a movement to restore Judaism back to God's standards? Phariseeism began as a fundamentalist movement to restore God's religion back to its purity, and those who began Phariseeism were sincere, and they were the ones, they were the defenders of the faith. Not the Sadducees, not the Herodians, not the sect of the Libertines and all. It was the Pharisees were the ones who were going to save and preserve God's Word. Well, how did Satan defeat that? He just needed to infect them with a little anomia and let it grow. He just needed to get his anomia inserted in there. And so, after a certain amount of time, as a whole, the movement as a whole, because Satan doesn't start out with everybody. He gets somebody infected with anomia. that somebody who's infected with anomia spreads it. Okay? They're being used. They think they're doing what they want. They think they're following their own idea. When they're corrected, they think they're justifying and defending their own way. And they think they get offended. They get defensive. Because they think that, I'm defending me. And they don't realize you're being used just like a bug to spread Satan's ideas of anomia. And when he gets done with you, he's going to let you drown while he moves on. Yep. You were made in the image of God. To be a child of God. Anything that works contrary to God's will, God's way, God's mind, is something from an enemy working in you.
That's right.
So the sect of the Pharisees was defeated. The movement, the restoration movement, the conservative movement was destroyed from within by anomia. The fourth time this term is used in the book of Matthew is in Matthew 24. He's talking to the disciples. Look at verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and she shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. He's not talking about lost people. And then shall many be stumbled or offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Well, how'd that happen? And many false prophets shall rise, shall deceive many. And because anomia shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that shall endure unto the end against anomia.
Right.
Four times in the book of Matthew, Satan's subterfuge. The mystery of anomia. It's contagious. Jesus said by the time that he comes back, anomia will abound. Well, how did it start? It starts through one person, two people, getting into the body of Christ. Like the Pharisee, they look righteous on the outside, but anomia is growing. I mean, they may not be full of anomia yet. But once that little parasitic anomia gets into their heart and mind, it's going to grow. It's going to grow. And you say, Brother Mark, how do we know if you're infected? I'll tell you in a little bit. We're going to get to that. I'll give you the indicators that you've been infected. But the reality is, because of the fall, we all have the germ, but we don't have to foster it. We don't have to follow it. It does not have to grow. We don't have to allow it to take over. But it will if it's allowed to.
Yeah.
Turn to Revelation chapter 2. This is an overview of the churches at the end of the first century. Okay? Now, the apostles planted the churches. They warned against this. They gave them the gospels. Jesus warned them through the apostles in the writing of the gospels against anomia. Okay? Against this working of Satan, this mystery of anomia. But let's read chapter 2. And I want you to notice what has happened in 60, 40, 30 years, depending on which church and the situation, okay? I think the church at Ephesus here, this is probably 30 years after the writing of the epistle to the Ephesians. Under the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted." This church is one that is famous for its stability. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. To the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, which hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Okay. Now, we can see from this quick overview, and if you go into, you find out in chapter 3, another church is rebuked for tolerating the Nicolaitans. Or both of those are in the first chapter, the second chapter here, this one that we read. Okay, who were the Balaamites? Who were the Nicolaitans? And who was Jezebel? They were people. Mm-hmm. They were people who were members of the church. You say, did they have their own meaning? No. These people that follow the doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, Jezebel, they were people in the church. These are first century apostolic churches. Right. They wore head coverings. They believed in modest apparel. They knew, they weren't that far removed from the apostles. Most likely Polycarp was a bishop of Smyrna. Okay, this was in the first century. Maybe it was probably about 30 years after Paul's martyrdom. And what do we find going on in these first century apostolic churches? We find that Satan has come in. Did he start with one person? We don't know. In Jezebel's case, maybe yes. Who was this Jezebel? This was a woman, obviously, in the church. A woman who had her own ideas. A woman who thought she had a superior knowledge, a superior way to what the bishop was teaching. It says here, But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak. Now, the Gnostics talked about a deeper knowledge, deeper gnosis, knowledge. They were wrongly called Gnostics. It wasn't knowledge, it was actually agnostic. It was a lack of knowledge, okay? But this woman was a part of this gnosis movement. They thought they had a deeper knowledge. In the Bible, God says the depths of Satan as they speak. He's using it as a play on words from what they actually said. They had a doctrine. And that doctrine was a superior belief system that gave them liberties that the inferiors did not have. They had Christian liberties. They were, the other brethren who were more conservative and God-fearing were the weaker brothers. Yeah. And these people had greater faith, so they could do greater things as far as liberty, follow their own preferences. They were smarter than the preacher and the elders. And this is the ideas that the Gnostics had. It was called deeper life. You ever hear that term? We faced those people when I was in high school, witnessing in my high school. We called them the deeper lifers. Because somehow, because of their extra faith and knowledge, they didn't have to live separated lives. Because of their extra faith and knowledge, they didn't have to live holy, God-fearing, trembling at the Word of God. That's what was happening. It's called the mystery of anomia. Can you see it here? Can you see anomia working in these churches? Anomia working in your heart is no different. It's no different than raising the enemy's egg. It's no different than your spiritual defense mechanism being confused to embrace error and reject truth. Your own religious beliefs destroying your eternal salvation. It's no different than having a computer virus, an enemy that's multiplying its own code in your brain, using you to enact war against God and His ways.
That's right.
It's no different than that little parasite coming inside of a person and working within that person to cause them to commit suicide. When anomia is working in someone's heart, they spread anomia wherever they go. They spread anomia to their friends. They spread anomia in their family. They spread anomia at church. When anomia is working in their heart and they are endorsing it, they are embracing it, they are allowing it to grow in their heart, it spreads. And it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter how much people love and appreciate them. It's not the church rejecting them. It's them rejecting the church.
That's right.
The church has not become their enemy. They have become the church's enemy.
Amen.
The church is seeking their salvation, and they're seeking the church's destruction.
That's right.
So the church has a choice. Reject them in their way, or join them in anomia. Anomia is contagious. You heard the verse. You know the verse. We sing it. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Why? It's contagious. The Nicolaitanes were just people in the church with anomia working in their hearts. The Nicolaitanes and the Balaamites evidently had slightly different beliefs, although it led to the same thing. It led to, because I am so have greater faith and knowledge, and I don't have to obey the Bible. I follow the Spirit, which led me to eating sacrifice to idols. And you say, well, you can't eat things sacrificed. Well, that's law. That's legalism. You're a legalist. So because of their greater faith and understanding, they could commit fornication. They could commit adultery. Think why? Well, it's all in the name of love, right? Oh, Brother Mark, I would never go that far. I've seen people go that far.
Yes.
In the name of love, in the name of acceptance, in the name of mercy, in the name of faith, in the name of higher knowledge, I've seen people go that far.
Yep.
And farther.
Yes.
In the name of false grace, that anomia in their heart. We've had situations here where anomia got in people's hearts, but it didn't show up. They didn't say, hey, I'm spreading anomia. No. They started arguing about what was true grace. Grace. And that we are under grace. We're not under the law. Whenever you hear that, we're not under the law. We're under grace. Whenever you hear those terminologies coming, and you know they really don't know what the Bible means by that, they're just opposed to nomos.
That's right.
They are just opposed to law. They don't want law. Why? What? They don't understand that law is God's love.
That's right.
Why would they not want God's love? Anomia is working in their heart. Why would Satan want to leave heaven? Why would Satan want to go to hell? Why would he want to stand up against the greatest friend he ever had, God Almighty, his Creator and Lord? Anomia. Anomia. And he's spreading it. He's full of it, and he's trying to spread it, and he will use you just like a parasite uses a bug to spread his anomia. He doesn't care if you go to hell. He'll leave you to drown. As long as he can spread anomia against God. Yeah, the Nicolaitans were just people. You say, Brother Mark, you call me a Nicolaitan? You know what? That is completely up to you.
That's right. That is right.
I have nothing personal against anybody who's ever come to this church. But when they start letting anomia grow, and they start trying to spread anomia, and they start trying to display anomia, they've got to go. They've got to be stopped. Or the whole church will be destroyed by their spreading of anomia.
That's right.
It's the very plan of Satan.
Yes.
All those people, the Nicolaitans, Balaamites, and the Jezebels, they all played upon concepts of personal preference, Christian liberty, judge not, it's not a big deal, I don't have to do what they say. Church elders making rules are looked upon as legalists or Pharisees. Jesus said the true Pharisee was the one who tried to look righteous but was full of anomia.
Yep, that's right.
Isn't that what he said?
Yes, sir.
He said that the Pharisees that had the problem were those who tried to look righteous but were full of anomia. They tried to appear, and they deceived most people today, thinking, well, the Pharisees are the ones who were keeping the law. No, they weren't. They were full of anomia.
Yep.
Jesus said you can know them. How? How can we know them? By their attitude towards nomos.
Yes.
Amen. That's how you know them. You say, what's nomos, Brother Mark? It's God's law.
Yep.
It comes up in the form of church accountability, rules, authority, reproof, stop signs in your life, God's demand of submission, due order. All these things have to do with nomos. God's order, God's way, God's righteousness, God's law. It has to do with how God wants a young lady to dress, how God wants a young lady to talk, how God wants a young lady to act. It has to do with how God wants a young man to talk and act and dress. It has to do with how God wants fathers to act and talk and dress. It has to do with how God wants mothers to conduct themselves, and grandmothers and grandfathers and brothers and sisters. It has to do with how God wants a marriage to be. And how he wants the husband to treat the wife. And how he wants the wife to reverence the husband. And all these things are nomos.
That's right.
And if you have any opposition to these laws of God, these ways of God. This stand, God wants you to be shamefaced, sobriety, chaste, all this. Do you have a problem with that? Does that rub you the wrong way? If so, I'm telling you right now, that is the prime indicator, a definite indicator that you have anomia working in you, and you think, I don't want to be a lady, I don't want to be shamefaced, I don't want to be meek and quiet. Oh, but yes you do. You are deceived. Right. You do want that. That is God's plan for you.
Yes.
That is the best thing for you, and there's anomia working in you to make you think you don't want that when you do want that.
Yes.
These people out on the street, they think they want their hair orange, and they think they want their ears stretched out. They think they don't want that. The devil is using them like a bug.
That's right.
And they are just testifying anomia for the devil, and then he's going to let them drown.
That's right.
Just like the Marcionite doctrine in the Mennonite churches. We love them as people. That egg doesn't belong in their nest. It's their enemy. But they won't kick it out. Don't allow your defense mechanism to kill you instead of killing what is truly your enemy.
Amen.
Don't allow the enemy to propagate his own ideas and replicate his own code in your body. Let's bring it down to where you live. Let's face it, the mystery of anomia is at work in every church through somebody. The question is it me? Is it you? Thoughts, concepts, beliefs, and opinions? You think that they are your own. It's Satan's egg. You defend them and get offended when you're corrected. You don't realize you're destroying yourself. Your ways will lead you and the church away from God. You put yourself in a position to be corrected, disciplined, and ultimately excommunicated if the church is going to be free from anomia. If leaders fail to do this, if they fail to follow through with church discipline and keep the communion clean, then they're allowing anomia in their own life.
Right.
And the church has no hope.
Yep.
If they allow the standards to slip, and they allow people to disregard the standards, and they allow people to do as they please, then we're all going to face God's wrath for anomia.
Right.
Let me ask you some questions. If I went to a doctor, and he was trying to diagnose my disease, he would ask me questions. Those questions are very vital in determining if I'm infected. Okay? So I'm going to ask you some questions. If you are not willing to be honest with yourself, it only shows you're in advanced stages. It only shows you're in real trouble. And the chances of you being changed and remedied and cured are even farther from possibility. Do you follow the godly examples around you, or do you intend to maintain your own ways? Do you strive to follow the discernment of those with more experience and success in spiritual matters, or do you have your own ideas and conclusions that you want to follow? Do you even struggle with the fact that God expects you to change and grow and follow your teacher's teaching and example? Are you, young ladies, striving to follow the godly traits, the godly examples of Sister Angela, Sister Melanie, etc., other godly ladies in the church? Do you, young men, feel the obligation to follow the godly traits and example of the elders of the church? Do you strive to follow the decisions, standards, preferences, discernment, and choices of your spiritual teachers in matters of separation, modesty, sobriety, shamefacedness, work ethic, frugality, simplicity, stewardship, and holy living? You know, when I read these, it's going to ruffle some people just by reading them. What you don't realize is what is ruffling you is not the Spirit of God. It's the spirit of anomia.
Yep.
Do you welcome the correction, advice, counsel, and teaching of the ministers and ministers' wives? Do you welcome the correction, advice, and counsel of other elders and brothers in the church? Do you believe that you are or are striving to become the product that the ministers and ministers' wives are trying to produce? Are you trying to cooperate with them and become the product they're trying to produce? Well, let me ask you this. Do you think they're trying to make you something obnoxious to God? Do you think they're trying to lead you away from God? Do you think what they're trying to make of you, or how they're trying to lead you or mold you or guide you, would be displeasing to God? If you would admit that yes, the ministers and the ministers' wives are trying to make me more Christ-like, more biblical, and more pleasing to God, then what is it? What is it that would resist that? What is it that would kind of, no thank you. What is it? It's anomia. Don't lie to yourself. It's anomia.
Amen.
Do you ask your authorities before you make choices to be sure you're upholding the church standards? Or do you assume, do as you please, and then get upset when confronted? Do you love God's righteous law and hate every evil way? Do you find yourself justifying things that are not meant to please and honor God? Well, I didn't mean to hit her. Did you try not to hit her? Oh, I hit her by accident. Were you trying not to hit her? You know, we deal with that with children.
Yeah.
Let me ask you. Do you find yourself justifying things that are not meant to please and honor God? Do you realize that the only thing that would hinder you from answering right on all these questions is anomia in your heart?
Right.
The mystery of anomia will work in any heart that ingests Satan's lie.
Yes.
Hath God said, ye shall not surely die? What happened to Adam and Eve? Was it a pretty picture? Anomia. She thought that apple looked good. Smack. It doesn't look good, Eve.
Amen.
It's good for food. Who told you that? It's good to make one wife. Who told you that? Something's wrong. Your perspective's wrong.
Amen.
That fruit on that tree will damn your seed and your children and your grandchildren and drown them in perdition. I thought I wanted it. You don't want it.
Uh-huh.
You don't want it.
Amen.
The devil will lead you to spiritual suicide. He's going to use you to propagate his own agenda and then leave you for dead. To him, you are just a bug. You are a useful idiot in the eyes of Satan.
Yep.
And he will use you to propagate his rebellion against God, his resistance to God's law, his resistance to God's authority. He will implant that in you. He will grow it in you. He will use you to propagate it. And then he'll let you drown.
Yep.
Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, listen to me, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's it right there. That's anomia. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Do you obey? Do you strive to obey your mom and dad and everything? There's a spirit that works in the children of disobedience. It's called anomia. The mystery of anomia has been at work. You know how David sent Hushai in to defeat the council of Ahithophel? He had a double agent in there, didn't he?
Yep.
Hushai was in there sounding like he was for Absalom. But he was only there to defeat the council of Ahithophel.
Right.
You know, the Democrats have done that with the presidential administration. They've got a bunch of turncoats, plants in there, trying to defeat what's going on. It's normal warfare. Okay? It's what people do in war. The devil's no dummy. The question is, will you recognize his prompts? Will you recognize his code? Will you recognize his impressions? Oh, I thought, why did you do that? You ever ask a child this? Why did you do that?
I don't know.
It's about time you learn to recognize the prompts,
yes,
of the spirit of disobedience and reject it. You've got to resist it. Turn from it. Flee away. 1 Timothy 6:9. But they that will be rich. Now in the context here, they that will be rich rather than godly.
Right.
His godliness with contentment is great gain. But they that will be rich, in contrast to that, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition.
Yep.
The only way to avoid it is seen in Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You're going to follow that spirit, or you're going to be a victim of the spirit of anomia.
Yes.
You're going to pursue and seek out and listen for the voice of God and follow it, or you're going to be following the spirit of anomia. Mm-hmm. There's no middle ground. There's no other way.
Right.
You girls, you go looking for your fabric for your dress. You go wanting to buy something, buy your, you know, you're making your dress. How am I going to make this? How am I going to, you know, all these, are you listening for the voice of God? Oh, I just did it because I want. No. You thought you wanted to. There's something messing with your mind.
Right.
Nobody in their right mind wants to displease God.
That's right.
Only deceived, deluded people through some lawless spirit inside of them would ever. It's suicide.
Yep.
It's insanity to provoke the Almighty God, who holds your eternity in His hand.
Yes.
Who could drop you into hell at a moment's notice. No sane individual is going to provoke God. Wise people listen for the voice of God.
Yes.
What would God want me to do here? Oh, I don't have to obey Dad. Hold it. What would God want me to do here? If you are not diligently working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, if you are not diligently listening to the voice of God and trying to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What does the Holy Spirit want me to do? What should I do? Then you are automatically prey to the spirit of disobedience. It's going to work in you. It's going to have its way in you. It's going to develop in you. You're going to spread its cause. You're going to be a bug for its propagation.
Yes.
And you're going to think, oh, this is what I want. Oh, isn't this beautiful? Look at this chick in my nest. She's developing so well. It's your enemy. You're going to get defensive when people try to point it out. You don't understand. Your defenses are defending the enemy.
That's right.
Your defenses are destroying your own tissue. How'd that happen? How is it that that bug chose to jump in the water? It's going to drown. That little parasite inside of him told it to jump in the water. And if you had pulled the bug out, said, why'd you do that for? And say,
I don't know.
Why'd you jump in the water? Didn't you know you were going to drown? Why'd you go out dressing immodest? You're going to provoke God and go to hell.
I don't know. Just what I thought was the right thing to do.
You're listening to that little voice.
That's right.
That spirit of disobedience. Why in the world did you go stretch your... Why did you stick that thing through your eyebrow? Why did you run away from a mom and dad that loves you and go join with people who don't care about you? Mm-hmm. Why did you run away from a church that's telling you the truth? Trying to save your soul? Well, I didn't like the rule. They were trying to control me. Where'd you hear that? Who told you that? The pastor's wife comes up and tries to give you some gentle guidance and instruction. Oh, that just upsets me. What do you think she's trying to do? Hurt you?
Come on.
Your pastor's wife, who's had a successful marriage for 30 years, who's raised 12 children, who's homeschooled, who's been a pastor's wife all her life, pretty much. And she wants to give you some spiritual guidance and counsel, and it bugs you. There's that word bug.
Uh-huh.
What's that voice telling you to do? I'll show them, I'll go jump in the water. Mm-hmm. I'll show them, I'll go drown myself in destruction and perdition. Is that really what you want to do? This is no joke, folks.
No.
The mystery of anomia is very, very real. The devil gets inside of people and begins to alter their ideas.
Uh-huh.
And what they really think they want is the worst thing for them. And you watch him commit spiritual suicide. And the devil laughs and goes on his way looking for another bug to use. I don't want you to be the devil's bug. But I think some of you are mistakenly thinking that you can outsmart the system. I fear for the attitudes, the resistance to authority, the resistance to rules. You know, I remember back when Brother Paul first came to the church. And he didn't know that we didn't wear t-shirts. As soon as he heard about it, nobody had a chance to even tell him yet. Oh, he had no problem with it. He changed like that. And I thought, I like that attitude. You see, you are either upholding the purity of the church or you're pulling it down.
That's right.
And I can sense it. I can sense it when I share things like, you know, I really feel like I think you need to be concerned about this in your life or your home or your daughter or your son. And I feel the resistance. I know what that is. I can recognize that. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, you know where I'm going. I didn't write it. You think? How many of you think I wrote Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they are wanting to destroy you. Is that what it says?
No.
Oh, they're just trying to ruin your fun. Is that what it says? For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account.
Right.
I've got to give account for the anomia I allow or disallow.
That's right.
God went to that pastor at Thyatira, and he said, thou sufferest that woman Jezebel to teach and to seduce. We don't know if she got in the pulpit. Oh, but she was spreading her stuff, wasn't she?
Yep.
She was spreading it around, wasn't she? He said, you're allowing it, buddy.
That's right.
I've got to give account. And, listen to this, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
Yep.
You think Brother Mark has some say in whether you go to heaven or not? I don't know how far that goes. God knows. But he's going to ask me about you.
Sure.
He's going to ask me how it was when I tried to counsel and guide and correct and reprove and teach. So how was it with this individual? And if I have to answer with grief, God says, that's not profitable for you. I hope you were listening this morning. If you don't believe that what I'm saying is rock solid reality, look around you and watch and see people doing things that are self-destructive.
Yes.
That not only destroys their friendships, it destroys their testimony, it destroys their faith and their salvation, it destroys their influence for God, it destroys them financially, it will destroy their happiness in eternity and in this life. It will drown them in destruction and perdition and ask them, why are you doing that? And they're going to tell you, because I want to.
Uh-huh.
And what you'll see is someone who's been warped and messed with by anomia.
That's right.
Because what they don't realize is they don't want to. They don't want to. There's a little voice telling them they want to, and they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The mystery of anomia. You say, Brother Mark, how do we stop that? Have I gone too far? That's for God to determine. But the way to overcome anomia, as I said before, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Have your ear tuned, for it is God which worketh in you. This is not irresistible grace. It's resistible grace. For it is God which worketh in you. He desires to work in you. He wants to work in you. He's trying to work in you. To will, to want, and to do of His good pleasure. If you are not willing, wanting, and doing His good pleasure, who is leading you?
Mm-hmm.
What spirit are you following? Don't tell me just because I want to. I know better. I know
Amen.
What makes you want to.
That's right.
Let's stand together.